that God wants us to learn to suffer. Did I say that right? That God wants you to suffer with joy unspeakable. Now, what is it that makes that happen? It's that you see the kingdom of God by faith, but you don't see it in fact. Does that make sense? So you're rejoicing not because of the trouble, the suffering for the kingdom of God, but for the fact that you don't see the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So suffering is the only thing you want for the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, if you don't suffer with him, you'll never be glorified with him. I'm going to say that again. If you don't suffer with him, you'll never be glorified with him. So number four on the chairs behind me is simply a foundation for suffering. Now, what's your suffering? It's that you don't see heaven, though you believe in it. And you don't see it right now. And that's what's happening right now in America, whether you know it or not, and in the whole world. We're about to have a revival, but if you don't suffer, you won't be glorified. And so it's a warning to the church to not be lukewarm, but to be hot. Zestos. So what we need to learn today, so instead of starting out in Exodus, I'm going to start out in Genesis. Why? Because that's where the suffering was announced, but it was experienced later. So when he announced it, then he realized, Moses and all the people of Israel, that they made a covenant. In the book of Genesis 15. So turn to Genesis 15. Always bring your Bible. You don't go to heaven or hell because of it. Just do it. Because God says to do it. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Avram, A-B-R-A-M, Avram, in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Avram, I am your shield. I am your shield." In other words, don't worry about the suffering. Don't worry about that. That's a time to rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. So when you see that, I am not only your shield to protect you while everything else is going on, but to also be your exceeding great reward. So God made a covenant with Avram, who in a little while will be called Avraham, Abraham. And since he made that announcement to him that, and this is how it happened. It happened in a weird way because he just didn't say it. This is how it happened. While he was cutting covenant with God, remember the birds were coming down and the guy got kind of worn out. Whew. And all of a sudden he just like fell asleep. And he never did do the covenant. In fact, because he made it by faith. Did you see that? So his faith is you don't see it. Faith means you didn't see it. So everything that we believe as Christians, you can't see. Every other religion, ideology, philosophy, everything, you can see it. They wear robes, they have buildings, they have all kinds of things that you can see in this world. It's observable with the human eye. But in our religion, you don't see anything. You just see the word. All you see is this word that repeats the promise that was given by God to Avram. And because he believed that, he went out and showed him the stars in the sky and the sand of the sea and the dust of the earth. And he said, if you believe that, and he said, I believe. He just said it. I believe that I'll have more children than the stars in the sky, the sand of the sea, the dust of the earth. Wow. That was like, nobody could do that. You could look up and count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Golly, there's a lot of stars up there. And God said, you know, if you can tell them, which means if you can count them. And he couldn't. So that means God doesn't lie. So when he said that, that means everyone that's righteous, and there'll be a lot. And there'll be more of us than the Jewish people, by the way. They have thousands and thousands. We will have millions and millions. Are you understanding? Because it's in the Bible, but you never thought about it. But so we are numberless, they are numbered. And so some say from this tribe 12,000, from this tribe 12,000, so 144,000. That's not to say that they won't have the same salvation we have. It's just that their numbers are smaller. And that's because they're special to God. You see, today they're in trouble. And today the church is in trouble without knowing it. Because the church thinks we replaced Israel. Oh, you can't replace them. He has a love for Jacob, which is translated Jim. He has a love for James, Jim, whatever. And that's the English equivalent of Yaakov, Y-A-K-O-V. And so, because of that, he's his firstborn. And God has always called him his firstborn. No matter what he did, no matter what he didn't do, he always calls him his firstborn. That's my firstborn. And so, what I'm going to read you today is about Jacob's following. And it'll be in Exodus when we start chapter 1 the next time I come here. And isn't today, I think, my second time here? Anyway, I'm here. I can't remember my schedule. But whatever I have to do in Dallas, and then I have to do it here and so on. So I forget my schedule. But I have to ask Peggy, Peggy, where am I today? And so she remembers everything. You're in Dallas. Oh. But today she said, you're in Fort Worth. Oh, I thought I was going to Dallas. That's because I'm 80. That's because I've lost my mind. Because I'm so in love with Jesus, I've lost my mind over this world. You see, this world doesn't at all impress me as my home. My home is in heaven. Right. Because of faith. No, but I don't see it. I just believe it. I don't see it. I just believe it. So since God says, let every man love his wife just as Christ loved the church. So the same way he did that, she owed a debt, he paid it. She needed wisdom, he gave it. And so that's the same kind of God we have. That's what marriage should be. So, I don't care how many times you've been divorced or thought about it or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. It's not behavior that he's after. It's a heart that he's after. Did you hear me? He is never going to judge you for your behavior because Jesus died for all your sins. Those are mine, but you know, you have one similar. So, all the sins that you have already been forgiven before the foundation of the world. It wasn't even at Calvary. It was before that. It just showed up at Calvary, then he saw it. And the whole world saw it. They heard about it. So now it's public. It's not hidden. But everything that God has ever said is something like this. God always wins. God always wins. And the righteous he delivers, but vengeance for the wicked. That's it. So God is good. People are not good, but God has forgiven us for we're good. But we're good derivatively. In other words, because he's good and he marries us, we get everything he has. So you're the bride of the bridegroom. And that could happen in our lifetime. I don't know when. Nobody knows. So I don't know when. But I'll tell you what this is. It's a warning. I don't think this is the end. I think this is just the beginning. And so Israel also is dependent upon America, whether you know it or not, because we are her walls of defense, her shield, and we're also her strength. And we have an alliance with them. And so They are not worried about anything. As a matter of fact, they're eager. They're not just like us, moaning and groaning about, oh, you have to wear a mask, you have to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Don't worry about it. Suffering is a pleasure when you rejoice in it. So Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. Did you understand that? So the way because he was Son of Man on earth. He is Son of God in heaven, but now he's on the earth, so we call him Son of Man or Son of God. You can say anything you want. Son of God, Son of Man, Son of both at the same time. Doesn't matter. But now we know he is, and the reason he did that was so he could die, so that you don't have to die. So he died for you, so that you can then live for others. He died for you so that you can live with total confidence that what you don't see is real and what you do see is nothing. This world is passing away. This is not your home. This is just a temporary, you're in a trailer now. You're a pilgrim wandering about. But you know what? My other home, that's my real home. So I'm not worried about it. I don't think about it. I don't dwell on it. I only dwell on one thing, the Word of God. Now here's the 15th chapter. This Avram cuts a covenant with him, and here's what happens. Fear not, Avram. I am your shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Avram said, Lord, God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Avram said, behold, to me you have given me no seed. What's the point of being blessed by you if I'm just going to, perish? I'd like someone to... How old is Avram at this time? How old is he? So he's quite aged, and so is his wife. And so there's no way, it's impossible, but how many know God does the possible? No, for him it's impossible for you, but it's possible for him. He always loves you. He never changes his mind. He can't. It's impossible for him to change his mind about possibility, because it's an actuality in God's mind. In God's mind, he already sees you in heaven. He sees you, and he knows whether you're wicked or whether you're righteous. He knows that. But you have to do it by faith, because you don't see it. You don't see it. He doesn't want you to observe this or notice this. So the man has a collar on, so he must be a pastor. No, he doesn't want anything to be seen. And so I don't do it. I'm just ordinary, plain old nothing. Right? Apart from me, you can do nothing, nothing, nothing. It's neat to be nothing, because then you don't have any problem, going down. You don't have any problem because you're a nothing. And I like being a nothing, because nothings aren't... Nobody expects anything out of a nothing. And so when I do a nothing, I don't even count it. God doesn't even count it. I didn't see that, Jim. I didn't see what you said there. I didn't see that. Of course he saw it. But he meant, I love you so much, I'm not even looking at that. I only look at your heart. Your heart is mine. It's fixed. It can't change. Why? Not because of temptations and all that kind of stuff. It's just he already knows. I'm in heaven. How many of you are in heaven? You're already there, but you're there by faith. You don't see it yet. So this is a warning, and he's saying this is the 7,000th year of human history. Forget all that evolution stuff and nonsense. That's debunked, and has been for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, it was even while he was alive, he came up with that notion, but he doubted that it was true. And you see, you don't know the history books because they don't tell you the truth. They tell you that evolution is such a wondrous thing we've made up, that people evolve. But the Bible is very clear. Everyone according to their own kind, so you don't evolve. everyone according to your own kind. So you can't go to an apple tree and expect a banana. You can't look at a horse and say that's a cow. You can't do it because everyone according to his own kind. It's the way he created the world. That's the way it'll always be. So Jesus is the only Savior you'll ever have. There's not another. Not another. We're not proud about that. We just simply say, thank you God that he died for me long before I was a Christian, long before I knew anything about him. He already died for me and said, you won't die eternally. You won't die spiritually. You will live forever. And because I was a pastor, I knew that I was not a good pastor. I knew that I sinned inside of myself all the time and sometimes outside of myself if you weren't in the car with me or something like that. But then one day he visited me and said, I don't want you just to be chair four, believing on me. I want you to be a disciple of me till I kill you. What? What do you mean? I don't want you to be in charge. So I want the death of you. So I said, take up your own cross, be a disciple, take up your own cross daily, every single day. That means every day I have to believe that this is not my home. Every day what I can't see is more real than what I can see. So every day I love my wife, every day I love Danny, every day I love everybody, no matter what. I don't have to feel it, I don't have to understand it, I don't have to want to do it, I just do it. Because God says, do it. So, just like Jesus, it's an objective word. Nothing in the Bible is subjective. Nothing. So, there's no such thing like they teach now. Well, how do you feel, sweetie? How do you feel if you were thrown out of the boat? And so on. It's all this stuff that they teach kids. What do you think? Now, what do you think about that? Because that's so easy. You see, they're not learning anything. They're just learning how to feel better. God doesn't want you to feel better. He wants you to suffer. The greatest thing is the greatest thing. Because unless you suffer, you won't be glorified. So you're justified and glorified because you were able then to suffer. And that's the middle chair right there. So I can go to four, don't skip five, and then six, and then seven, and so on and so forth. So God wants you to be happy all the time. And you say, I don't feel happy. He's not talking about feelings. Well, I don't understand that. Well, he's not talking about understanding. Well, I didn't want to do that. Well, he's not caring what you want to do. It's not my will, but thine be done, Jesus said, right? So Jesus is the perfect example for us. The way he did it, the way you'll do it, right? So a real church today is not one that, you know, makes people feel good or entertains them or has, you know, gold things floating down or something like that. You don't need that. All you need is the Word of God. You don't need any of that. You don't need to be entertained, which is what church is all about. A lot of churches are just entertainment centers. Now, they may say true things, but it's not the truth. Did you hear what I just said? They may say something that's true because they quoted the Bible. That doesn't mean it's the truth that you need, because that truth will set you free. And so, since everything's going your way, when you see danger coming, say, the Lord says, fret not because of you. Sorry. That's for all the people listening in. So, we reach a lot of people that aren't here. Lots of people. And they're from all over the world. And so we do it all during the week. But anyway, I want you to know that the best is yet to come. Right? All right. So let's see how this bad suffering is going to come about. So Avram said, behold, to me you have given no seed, and the person born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, right then, saying, this shall not be your heir. Eliezer. But he that shall come forth out of your own bowels, that's your heart, shall be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and see if you can count the stars, if you be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And Avram believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord that brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit. This is Genesis now. And it said, he said, God, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit? Abraham said to him. And he said to him, take me a heifer, 3 years old, she-goat, 3 years old, a ram, 3 years old, turtle dove, young pigeon. And he took him all these things and divided them in the midst. In other words, he cut them in half and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds divided he not. Now, you can see here how God operates. It's certainly not like people. I mean, would you do that today? And no one would ever do it, but they did in those days. And he said, I want to sacrifice, because it's the Old Testament, I want to sacrifice, so cut those things up, and then we will, together, we'll covenant together, and when the sun goes down, and so on. So, and he did it. And he said, he believed. First, I don't know how it happened. God must know. I don't know. And when the fowls came down, the birds in the air, when the birds came down on the carcasses that were bloody, they could smell them, Avram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Avram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell on him. And he said, to Avram, know of a surety. Now this is God while he's asleep. He's sleeping. A bird, get away. But it was dark, so they didn't come now. Dark. And so that's as much as he's added to this whole event. And the sun going down, a deep sleep fell on Avram, and lo, in horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Avram, know of a surety, this is God speaking, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Doesn't tell us anything. And shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now notice that. 400 years, you're going to be in a strange land. A stranger in a strange land, later, Abraham said. And so did Moses. And so did everybody that's a pilgrim. And every one of you are pilgrims. This is not your home. You haven't even seen your home. You don't know what it's made out of. Could be a doghouse, or it could be a mansion, whatever it is. It's a dwelling place, and maybe it's an apartment building. You don't even know. Because we've never seen his house, right? But Abraham had a good look at it. And, I mean, not Abraham, but Moses. Because he talked with him face to face, and he showed him something from heaven, and he built it with an outer court, and then with a holy place, and with the Holy of Holies. Now, the Holy of Holies is where God dwells. So he's in the inner room. Not the holy place with the priest minister, but not in the outer court where the blood was shed. But this is now going from 4, 5, and 6. So the Holy of Holies is where God lives your life for you, in you, through you. And when men see your good works, and they know it, we're talking about pagans, heathen, Antifa, whatever, they will know that was God. God did that. And so we haven't even seen that. But it's about to happen. When you see all the enemies surrounding you, like sieging all around you, and you see the president doing all kinds of things and so on and so forth, there's no escape. I wish Trump were here. You don't need him. Maybe God wants to do something on his own. Because maybe he wants the glory, which he'll just turn around and give it to his kids. So everyone that's righteous today wants to have you suffer like Israel did Did you know repeating Israel? Everything that they experienced, we're experiencing. The church is just like him. The church used to be hot. Remember in the beginning, they had him in the arena and all that kind of stuff and fed to the lions and all that kind of stuff. Well, those people were serious, and they would not give up their faith. We're not exactly that way now, but he's testing you right now to see whether you can rejoice in the midst of sorrow, suffering. Isn't that exciting? Who could say amen even before I finish this nice sermon? You need to say amen. I want to suffer and I'll be happy. Well, I don't know if I feel it, but I'll fake it. No, you can do it by faith. Just do it by faith. You're burning. I love it. So God wants you to know that what he's going to do, just trust him. When he says something, that's the way it is. And there's no other gods. There aren't any other gods. There's no rival gods. But everybody, tell you, wants to be a god. Everyone wants to make their own decisions for you. You don't make your own decisions because you're not trusted. You're deplorable. You're awful. You're hated. You're despised. Isn't that exciting? Don't you see that? I mean, that's the way the world is. So don't change it. Leave it. Don't do anything. Because it's not going to be the way you want it to be. It's to be the way it is. And you can trust God. It'll turn out for your good. It will always turn out for your good. You have to defy this world because it has no brains at all. It has brains, but they don't work. And so they irrationally hate you because you voted for somebody wrong or something. It doesn't make any difference. They're irrational. It doesn't matter. Hello? So you think, wow, anyone like to be like America? No one wants to be America today. Chinese don't want. They don't want to be America. And so the Russians, they don't want to be America either. But they're all watching, see what's happening. And we're going to either be communist tomorrow or we're going to be something or other, and homosexual or whatever. And so they've got all kinds of things cooked up for us. Yahoo! Just rejoice when that's happening. Hey, thank you for the harvest here. I'm glad you came. Now, if you don't have joy unspeakable and full of glory, you didn't know Jesus. Because he actually did not avoid the cross. He deliberately, consciously said, not my will, but thine be done. Now, that's a real Christian. How many are ready for that? One, two, three, four. By faith? You don't have to qualify it. Now, what you're going through is, it's not pre-planned, so God didn't tell us exactly what it is. All you know is what Israel experienced, you'll experience. They're the perfect example for you. Everything they did wrong, you'll do the same thing. Now, until you're dead. Until you're dead. Now, dead is a good thing. If you're dead, then you don't trust yourself. How many, if a body were right here and I was doing a funeral and I kicked the corpse, that corpse will not respond to what I'm doing. I'm just kicking it. Because they don't have any feelings. They don't have any thoughts. They don't have any anger. They don't want to have vengeance and so on. Because they're dead. How many know if you're dead to this world, you're dead? But I am dead to this world. So the world doesn't bother me. Just the way it is. I just trust God. I trust God. If he said this is for your good, I believe it. I believe it. How many are with me? One, two, three, four. Half of Teresa. So I know you don't trust me, and you don't have to. Don't even trust me. Read it in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. So whatever bad happens to you, it's not bad. Hello? Now I'm not talking about sickness and poverty. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you see heaven and you don't see heaven on earth. But the Bible says you will see it on earth. What you do on earth, and that's the kind of church he's looking for, that'll do it without any questions because they just trust God. So you'll be out of control. You won't be in controlling the environment. That's one of the greatest things man has, is we control the environment. And now we're about to be God. Everybody wants to be a God. Hollywood, everyone wants to be a God. They want to be something. They want to amount to something. It's not going to happen. You're a nothing. You'll always be a nothing. So, you know, you can actually be good in heaven as long as it's derivative. In other words, because Jesus wants to marry you, it's his idea. He wants to marry you, and you have to be in sin when he does. If you approach God without sin, he will not accept you. You have to have sin when you approach God. Did you hear what I just said? Now, don't have to worry about that, because everybody here sins every day. And that won't change until he's back a second time. Then you have the new heart, new soul, new body, new walk with God. That won't happen right now, so you just have to believe things you can't see. You can't observe them. You can't measure them. You don't know what he's talking about. And Abraham, just like that, he believed, I'll have more kids than... He said, I need one son if I'm going to get all those many people. So what has happened is a lot of these sons came out of Jacob, the grandson, not Isaac, the grandson. Isaac, you know, he produced Jacob and Esau and so on and so forth. But then Jacob had 12 kids. Wow. It began to look like, so when they came to the promised land later, 70 people came out of, and they're going down to Egypt because there was a famine in the land, and they did that. So what looks bad is actually good. What looks horrible is actually good, because it's testing your faith. Do you actually believe that God spoke the truth and the truth has set you free? Now, you're thinking, I'm thinking about you personally feeling that or understanding that or wanting that. No, you don't want to understand it. You don't want it. You don't want to do that. Nobody here wants to. So that's a sin because you didn't trust God. But you do by faith. So somebody answered by faith. I don't know who that was. That was the correct answer. Is you always have to good, you know, God loved you while you were yet a sinner. So he wants you to have all your doubts and all your fears and all of that kind of stuff. That's just psychological stuff. And everything today is psychological. Well, what do you think about that? All the newscasters, they all say that word. Now, tell me what you think about this. How do you view this? You know, and they're always doing softball stuff. Because they can get a nice event there. Because they're just asking you, well, what do you feel about that? What would you do in that situation? So they don't, it's brainless. That's why today there are no people that write down the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It's psychology. It's taken over. It's exciting. I like it. That's the battle that surrounds me. I have degrees in it, all that kind of stuff, but that's not why I like it. I like it because I'm a Christian. And so everything God does, I think, is just awesome. Hallelujah! That was just half of what I was going to say. In other words, you have to be happy in this world and realize, fret not because of evildoers, because they're everywhere. Fret not because the army surrounds. Flee. When you see the army surrounding, just flee. There's nothing wrong with fleeing. You know, I think I'd like to keep my life for a while. So I'll go to Danny's house or something like that, out in the country. Have good food. Is she a good cook? Because you don't have to worry about it. If God wants you to die, it's not the last word. Death is not the final word. You just need to die to yourself. If you die to yourself, you love your neighbor. If you die to yourself, just like Jesus did, then you love your neighbor. He learned obedience through what he suffered. So that's how he could obey God, because he didn't want it any more than we did. He was tempted exactly as we are, right? You know that's in the Bible. He was tempted in every way, just like you. But he didn't do it. That's all. That's the only difference. He didn't do it because he's the example for us. And so now he wants you to live that kind of life. Isn't that exciting? No, you hate it. But that's okay. That's just emotion. That's just, you know, your thought. I didn't understand that. Who's my neighbor? People don't know. So what? Just relax. Always relaxed, always peaceful, always happy, always just saying, this is not home. I haven't come home yet. But it's worth it. It's not to, the suffering is not to be compared to what is ahead of you. Now, if you don't have that, you won't make it. If you don't have a goal in mind, you'll not want to suffer here. So people set out playing the piano for a while, and then it gets boring, and then after a while they quit. That happens all the time. So people go out for, you know, football or baseball or whatever, and they get it until it's, you have to do push-ups and you have to, you know, you have to be excellent at it and so on. So people quit. They quit on anything because we're disciplined, right? So our view of God is that he can't lie. I will build my church, promise one, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against her, the bride of Christ, or it, the body of Christ. Doesn't make any difference. It's the same word formation. Could be male, female, neuter. It can be anything. So you could all of those are correct. But we don't have to worry about it. It could be male. It could be female. It could be neuter. It doesn't make any difference. So everything you do has already been thought out by God. I just trust him. I trust him, Danny. I'm not afraid that God lied. What happened? Well, he visited me one day. And then when he visited me, I fell in love. I just did. I didn't try to do that. I just did. I have never been the same since. Right? You're the same? That's powerful. So Christianity is not what you want it to be. It's what it is. So you'd have to believe that God was good, gracious, merciful. All-powerful. He is everything you've ever wanted to be. There is no more goodness in the world except God. Amen. You're not good. That's why we don't do good works in the church. You do good works after you're saved, after he's described you as a new man in Christ. So you're the new man. You're a new man. And I'll be the bride. So you see, it doesn't have male and female. Not even interested in that. Because we're going to all be part of the bride, who are righteous, and you'll be all, you know, male or female. Doesn't make any difference. All sons of God. Only the sons of God. But that's because of the background. So that just like Abraham saw something, you can be just like Abraham. The minute you become a Christian, he's your relative. You're related to Abraham and to King David. So you'll be a priest and king all at the same time. Jesus is the priest-king. He's the first fruits. You're the first fruits of the first fruits. I know you can't understand what I'm saying because I read the Bible all the time and it messes you up. Yeah. You can't even talk to people. So, but it's the truth. Now, here's what happened. And when the son was going to deep sleep, fell on him, and he said, Avram, know of a surety, this is verse 13, thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, Egypt, and shall serve them, Egypt, and they shall afflict them 400 years. You'll be enslaved. And also that nation, Egypt, whom they serve, will I judge. Now, that doesn't mean killed. That doesn't mean destroyed. He just is judging them. And if you read in Exodus, which I will this year, I'll read exactly what the Pharaoh said who let them go. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. In other words, remember when they were leaving, they didn't have anything because they were slaves. A slave owns nothing. They were slaves, so they owned nothing. But yet they borrowed, you know, boards from this one and, you know, do you have that wooden platter? Could I have that? And so they borrowed everything. But the one thing is, they asked if you could have the gold since we might meet people who need money and so on and so forth. And they gave them all the gold and silver that they needed. And they all went to the Pharaoh and they said, let them go because we'll be not here if you don't. They're killing everything here, especially that tenth one. That tenth one is very important because then he began to say, The cows that belong to Israel will live, but your cows will all die if they're firstborn. So all the firstborn dogs, cats, everything all over the place were dead. And all the people, but especially Pharaoh's son, because he was supposed to be son of God, who would then become God later. And when he saw that, then he said these words, "And bless me also." Wow. He didn't want to just let them go, but he not only let them go, he gave them all the gold and silver they needed for their journey. He paid for the whole journey. Not only that, he also said, "And bless me also." Because you got a God that I didn't know that God. I didn't even know there was a God like that. How many don't want to miss out on that event someday? When we go to heaven and everyone says, "How'd you get there?" I didn't do any good works at all. Jesus did it all. It just was wonderful. He did it all. You believe in that? Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Well, you're crazy. You're goofy. What's wrong with you? You're weird. I don't know. Look at the group behind me. White robes. And when they see Jesus returning with a white horse, on a big white horse, and all the saints behind him, Old Testament, New Testament, church history, all the way up until today, when they see all of them and the host of heaven, two-thirds of the angels were good. They never did anything. They never left their estate. They stayed exactly where they were. That's going to be us. Do you understand what I'm just saying? So if you don't have that understanding because you didn't read the Bible, you have to read the Bible to see these miracles are just God's ordinary stuff. He does everything for you because you're his children. Now you're his sons. Now you're his wife. Now you're, you can be anything God wants you to be because he's God. And he wants you to be totally happy for the rest of your life. Yeah. And I'm already starting right now. It's a Head Start program. I'm on the Head Start program because if you're a pastor, you have to be good. But I hope he doesn't look at my behavior. I hope he doesn't look at my thoughts. I hope he doesn't look at anything. But my heart is right. Did you know that's all God's ever wanted? That your heart would be right. You're good, I'm not. You're good, I'm not. That's all. That's all he's ever wanted. And in fact, you remember the Israel? They goofed up. Remember Jesus cursed the fig tree and they said, your house is desolate, so you're not part of God's people anymore. That's not true. When God said that, he meant, right now I'm saying that because later I'll forgive a whole bunch of them. So whenever God judges, he always then redeems. In other words, if he's going after you, that's because he loves you and wants you to grow up, wake up, look at what time it is. Now you're in the 7,000th year, so he wants you to be more serious than you have been. How many are willing to be more serious than you have been? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, right. And it's by faith, right? It is by faith. You don't have to feel anything. You don't have to want anything. You don't do that. Don't do it. Not my will. He had a will. Not my will, but thine be done. So you want what God has. Why? It's good for you. Whatever God wants you to do, do it. Don't even think about it. Just do it. Just do it. So when you meet another Christian in this church, say, "I love you. You're a blessed sister or brother." Exactly. Well, not male, female. I'm just talking about men to men. Shake hands. All I'm talking about is the best hasn't yet been seen. When he drinks again, because communion will be served in a little while, and he said, "I will never drink again of the wine until we meet in heaven and I'm married to you, and that'll be the wedding feast wine." And it's up there in heaven. It's not on earth. It's not from California or New York or whatever. Now, those places are, they're bankrupt. You don't know that. They're bankrupt. These people are just hoping the government will give handouts and all the kids in school. Everything. They're just doing everything they want to do. Okay, don't hate them. They didn't have a teacher. Didn't have anyone to teach them the truth. They belong to religions that expect you to do good works. You've never, no work has ever been done on the earth by any man except Jesus Christ. The only thing that needed to be done, He did it for you. And He did it in your stead. And He did it so you'd be happy and safe on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm in heaven already. I don't have to go there. I'm already there. Right? Yes. Let's say they kill me. I don't care. If you care, you don't want to be a pastor. You don't want to be. If any of you have thought, maybe I'll be a pastor, Danny, you are. So, too bad for you. Yeah, you're already dead. Yeah, he is. He's dead to himself. In other words, he's no longer Danny. He's now not Danny. He's not Danny. He's Christ in Danny and Danny in Christ. Knew you, knew him. So you actually see God is affected by his love toward you. When you love somebody, you don't say, do they deserve it? You say, they don't deserve it. That's why we need to love them. We need to love the unlovable. Right? Because anyone married, don't testify to this, but anyone married is going to run into
trouble.
Yeah, trouble.
Yeah. We know about that.
Right. But it can't be cured on earth because of Jesus. Because Jesus did not come to kill anybody that he created. He came to have you have utter happiness. Birds don't even have it. Cows don't even have it. Frogs don't even. Nobody has it. We're the only ones that can actually be like God. You're created for that. That's for your creation. Okay. So now here's what happened and I'm done. And also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge, and afterward they shall come out with great abundance. And you shall go to thy fathers in peace, Abraham, Avram. So he lived to be 175. Here he's way less than that, half of that. And thou shalt go to your father in peace, and you shall be buried in a good old age. So he was 175. But in the fourth generation, and you're going to see some of these. This is Abraham. You shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. have no idea what that's talking about, but that's a good one. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. This is God. He is that lamp. He is that person. And that day the Lord made a covenant with Avram, saying, unto thy seed, in other words, not you, but your children from your son, Yitzhak. You're going to have this. I have given all of this land from the river Egypt to the great river Euphrates. Now he's naming now 10 people. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. He doesn't know this numbering in most cases, but here, this is for Abraham, 10 is a symbol for time of testing. So he's doing something. And now there are 10 listed. But all of those people, they weren't there. They didn't even see it. They didn't have, there had no way to do this, just God and Avram. But what happened was he snored through the whole deal so that he didn't have anything to do with it, because God always wants to do everything and doesn't want you to do anything. Just be yourself. Be a sinner. Just be a rotten, no good person. Now, I'm going to say something else that'll blow you away. Unless you crucify Jesus Christ, you're not a Christian. Because everything in you doesn't want to do what he wants you to do. Everything he tells you to do, it exactly goes against your nature. I don't want to do that. I want to have no pain. I don't want any pain. Well, actually, the pain is good. Why? Because God will be with you. Well, I don't want to try that one. Could we do that later? Could you work on the headache thing? Instead of, heal my whole body or something like that. You don't know God. God is the one that always loves you, and the fact that you don't see it has nothing to do with anything. It just has to do with don't worry about it. Why worry? Why be stressed? Why be anxious? Be ye not anxious. He knows he will be. So he said that, so that then you'd have to die. You'd have to die because I don't want to be anxious, and I'm anxious about that. I don't want that to happen. So, as God say, this is good for you. So he wants to scare you to death. He does. So that you, when you read it, you can read it in the Old Testament, forget Christians. Read it in the Old Testament, you realize, ooh, I'm glad I wasn't there. I didn't want to wait on God. And then you realize you are exactly what you fear. Did you know the thing you fear will come upon you? Yeah. It's in the Bible. I'm sorry about that. But it's in the Bible. Just erase it if you don't want to. Tear that page out. I want you to know, no, you have the wrong picture of God. He is the only one that's good. He is the only one that's gracious. He is the only one that's merciful. Only. All alone. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So this is not a, you know, the American dream thing. We're not talking about the American dream. We're talking about being the church totally opposed to this world. Opposed to the, you know, all the technology and all that kind of nonsense that's going on. They'll all get their comeuppance. They will. Because God not only judges you later in the last judgment, he'll judge you prior to that, a preliminary thing, in time. And so a lot of them could go to jail. A lot of them. Many more than I can tell you about. So if you're not ready for suffering, you missed out. Because if you don't suffer with him, you won't learn obedience. Obedience has nothing to do with suffering. It's just you obey God because he said, if you obey me, I'll take care of you. I'll tell you where to go. I'll tell you how to flee. I'll tell you everything. People don't want to do that, but if you read that and you read it as a miracle that happened, you know, 100 years ago, 500 years ago, or even, you know, someone, you want that for you, but you're not willing to pay for that. Oh, you can pay for it. What's it cost? Nothing. Doesn't cost anything. Just say, from now on, I love you. Did you know preaching the gospel, the good news to somebody else from a religion that doesn't trust you and believe in you, you can do it. You can do it. Jesus did not try to escape death. He said no. But in 3 days, he was up again. That's unfair. He just popped right back up. It's like one of those balloons you knock down and they just come right back. You ever seen those? Just come back and hit you. And so it's one of those balloons. I think of David Halverson that way. You can say anything you want to David. He loves you. He's good. I am not that way. But he is that way. He forgives you. Yeah, don't worry about that. That's true. And so you should be that, you know, that oblivious to this world. This world is not your home. This is not home. You were made for heaven. You were made to go and live forever and ever. No beginning, no ending. Alpha and the Omega, just like Jesus. And you'll be married to him forever. Ever. Ever. It never stops. So, I believe that.
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, amen.
Jeff, do you believe that? David, do you believe that?
Absolutely.
Nobody can do that. You can't do that. You won't do that unless God does it. If God does it, then it's easy. But if he doesn't does it, you can't. Because you can't do any good works apart from him. Apart from me, you can do nothing, 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 nothing. But in him, you can do all things. Oh, wow, that's a good. So you can't do it, but you can do it. You can't do it in your strength, in your wisdom, in your power. That's what's going to happen to all these people today that hate us. Don't hate them. They don't even have pastors. They don't have anyone that cares for them. They don't have any pastor that's going to tell them the truth. Did you know that Laodicea, which we're in that age right now, that's the last church age, we're in it. They're just lukewarm about it. Oh yeah, I'm Christian. I go quite a few. at least Christmas. I do Christmas. No, yeah, I think I went to Easter this year. It's okay. It's okay. God doesn't hate you for doing that. He's not mad at your sins. He's only mad at your heart. He's not mad at anything. He's never been mad at anything. He knows he made you, and he knows exactly. He didn't have to wait till you see it. He already sees everything. He knows the secrets of your heart. So I don't, and I don't want to. I don't want to know anything about anything. Why? I know Jesus. He's my whole life. Who'd like to make a testimony? Yes. Right.
And it's not real suffering.
Right.
It's a little suffering.
Right.
But I'm just finding that I can do anything.
Right.
Right. And Walter said, well, it's supposed to be that way.
Yeah.
And I'm finding I kind of don't like it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But
I'm seeing
that's behavior. And he doesn't care about your behavior. Don't lie to God and say, I wanted to do it. If you didn't want to do it, don't do it. He doesn't care about that. All he cares about is your heart. He wants your heart. If he gets his heart, he gets everything. That's the bowels of mercy. The bowels of mercy are down here. They're not up here in the heart. They're down here. So the Bible, when they speak of heart, they're not talking about your pump. They're talking about right down here where you see somebody you haven't seen in a long time and you're so excited. Or you see an enemy, you know, it doesn't get in, but it's down there. That's all in the gut. It's in the gut. And that's where your whole being is there, in the heart. And so we love God with all our heart and soul and strength. But it's starting with the heart. So that's all a gift. Don't pay for it. It's free. God has never done anything to harm anybody at any time. God can't change. He's permanently God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So all you can do is snore. All you can do is do whatever you do. And he's not angry at anybody. Now, I want a testimony or two before we take communion. Who has a testimony or two?
Well, yesterday we were slugging it out.
Right.
You know, we were really going on. It's been
right.
A long time. But yeah.
Right.
And I was so mad. I said, I can't do this. And I yelled. I went out into the living room by myself. And somebody just raising my hand to God. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. Yeah.
Right.
And then I left the house. I'm like, oh, I got to get out of here. I just can't. I have a list. I can't do all these things that Teresa needs. I just can't do it. I just, you know, I got to.
Sure.
So I left. And I got in the car. I rolled out. And I put the music on. Mm-hmm. As soon as I put it on, Warren Driscoll, or whatever her name is.
There you go.
Dawn Day. It said, I will rescue you. The song started singing. It said,
yeah.
I will rescue you.
Right.
Right on.
Right.
And I shut it off. I started crying. I'm wow. Like, oh, what? And so, anyway, I was like, you know, and then we came here to listen to you, and I'm like, listen to this, Teresa. We're rescued. We're going to die. I'm like, oh. But I didn't want to come this morning. I said, I'm not going to be a phony. I prayed the Lord after I was just cursing. You know, we're slugging. I can't do that. I got to, you know. We came anyway.
Right.
We listened to you, and
Yahoo.
We got to die. I'm like,
amen. I love it. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's real. Who else wants to testify? Yes.
So there's this guy at work that, well, he's not there anymore, but he was so arrogant. Mm-hmm. I could not stand him. And it takes a lot. I typically like people. But I could not stand this guy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Every day. And you know I'm a talker. That's me. Mm-hmm. I would go to work and I would put my earbuds in, head down, did not speak for months. Could not stand the guy. His breathing. I was just like, oh my God, I hate you. You know, and that is so unlike me, but really, it was bad. I right. Even asked my manager, I was like, I might do something if you don't move me. I cannot be near him. It was that bad. Mm-hmm. One day, I had a dream about him, and it was like, God reached down and said, no, no, you're not going to hate him. And I can't tell you. It was, it made me see not just him specifically, but all people like that. Like, and I catch myself, or he catches me, whatever, feeling a hatred towards people for, you know, Biden, whoever, all the evil that they plan.
Right.
But what you were saying earlier, that's exactly what he showed me in that dream, is no, he's a broken person. You should, your heart should be soft, should be open. Wow. He's in pain. He's in a deep, deep, deep pain that you cannot see.
Right.
And that is the truth for everybody out there that is trying to do us harm. It's because they have a deep, deep, deep pain.
Right.
And the only thing that they know how to do to try and appease that, try and feel better.
Sure.
I mean, that's the only answer that they know is, oh, well, this will make me feel better. Well, it won't.
Right.
We know what the answer is, but they don't.
Right. Too powerful. Too powerful.
It really applies to everyone on earth.
Like them.
We should have a soft heart for them.
Right.
No matter how much arrogance.
Perfect.
Or pain.
Perfect.
Or suffering.
Everybody. Everybody. It's everybody. So that's loving your neighbor. You love your neighbor that you don't love. You don't like. You don't want to be one of them. You love that neighbor who's obnoxious. You love that neighbor who's your wife or husband or whatever. No problem. God knows that. Because he did it. You didn't do it. You thought you did it, but actually he used you to bless you, and you feel better today about loving a guy that didn't deserve it, that I really despised. So what? It's nothing. It's just simply a thought in your head, but it has nowhere to go. So just say, I love that person. I'm going to pray for that person. If you start praying for people that you hate, you'll find you don't. You just find you don't. And if they would say, you probably hate me, you'd say, actually, no, I pray for you every day. You know, and they'd be, oh, wow, I want to be a Christian. I'm serious. Yeah. This is not hard to witness to people. It's not hard. You just have to be happy yourself. Not even smiling all the time. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying you need to be happy that that person is ignorant. They don't even know the truth. And if they did, they'd just be like you. Because you were once dark, now you have light. You were once in darkness, now you have light. You're the light of the world. If you believe that description of you, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth, you are the dwelling place of the living God, blah, 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 blah. You just do that, it'll change your life like that. And you start praying for anybody at any time. Yes, Larry?
God, you know, that's God showing you,
right,
no matter how despicable I am,
right,
he still loves me enough to come and
invade
my life. And that breaks me, like she's broken.
Yeah.
That God's love came, and even though she was hating and she shouldn't. And me too. But God is, when we're born again, Christ is in us.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever reason, life has pushed, made our flesh strong so that Christ can't get out.
Right.
So there is, that's in her. The love for that guy is in her.
Yeah.
The love of God out of his mercy came.
Right.
And actually reminded her.
Right.
Who she was.
Right.
Actually made a connection with her.
That's true.
Who she was.
She loves Jesus.
In her, loves that guy. Oh my gosh, I forgot about that part of me.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And it's like he's a miracle worker.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's powerful.
He'll break through our
flesh. Spirit. It's just flesh.
It's flesh.
Flesh doesn't go to heaven. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just flesh.
Just flesh.
And he's not mad at us for it.
Not mad.
Oh, no.
Never.
He's not mad. I always thought he was mad at me because my flesh was so strong. He's not mad at us. He's just lazy.
Exactly.
We never surprise him.
I love it.
We never surprise him.
Yes.
We think we do.
Right.
Oh, God. Yeah, he's not surprised about any of our evils.
Right.
But he loves us anyway, and he'll come through like he did here.
Yeah.
He'll come through.
Perfect.
And remind us who we are.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. God loves sinners. He doesn't just love sinners. He sent his son to die for sinners.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about sinning. He only cares about mercy. He wants to be merciful to sinners. Not just favor you and grace you. He wants to have mercy toward everybody that doesn't deserve it. So love people that don't want your love, need your love, you won't even thank you for it. Love that person. And you found that by praying for them, it changes you. Till you're dead, 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 dead. Because Jesus came to do that. He was tempted. He was tempted in every way like us, but he never sinned. That's why he's the example. All right, I hope you're blessed today. From now on, will be the first chapter in Exodus, and then you'll see how this actually happened to them. And the whole book of that is how to go from slavery to yourself, to freedom. And you'll be free forever. And that's why God said, preach on Exodus. But you have to go back to Genesis to see how he got there, because a covenant that he made with Abraham, and Abraham believed that he'd have more children than the sand of the sea, more than the stars in the sky. He actually believed that. That's not possible. That could never happen. You can't look up at the stars and say, yeah, I'll have more children than that. Yeah. He's asking just for one son. Just give me a son. And when he was 99 years old, that's when he was talking to him. And he said, now, you'll have it in the spring. It'll be here in the spring. It's already 99. So, God is good. Anyone else want to testify? Susan? All of it.
All contrary.
Right.
But it's like, you know, even people that I trust or people that I love or whatever, like, I'm at a place in our circumstances now where only the Word, only different places in the Word of God.
Amen. There's nothing. That word is everything. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that constantly is coming out of the mouth of God. Present, active, indicative. Yes.
You know, this story that you told, we're about to have the communion with bread and wine. Mm-hmm. This story that you told today, you could actually start in the chapter earlier where Abraham is blessed by Melchizedek.
Right. Yes. Yes. Same. Totally. Totally. Yep. Right. 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 Let's say I'm a tree. And I have a branch over here. This is the Christian church, but it has to be a righteous church that's zestos, hot. This is the other church, and there's no fruit in this church. So today Israel can't easily come over. Individuals can't, but not the nation. The nation of Israel today looks sad because they can't do it, and they're just fixed on it. That is in the Bible prophesied in Isaiah 6 and a lot of other places. It's prophesied, you'll be blind, you can't see, your heart will be fat, and so on and so forth. describes them. That's nothing. God said that a long time ago. He's just keeping what he said. Their loss is our gain. When they fell away and were not anymore, they were not in the picture, we didn't like them, they didn't like us. That's changing right now. And God is getting us ready to say, you can love anybody, anywhere, at any time. Has nothing to do with race, has nothing to do with culture, has nothing to do with anything. Has to do with Jesus Christ made the promise, he cannot lie. He cannot lie. So the best is yet to come. So you might say, well, I don't know if I could be like that, Pastor. Of course you could be anything God wants you to be. Just pray, God, I don't think I'm ready, but, you know, take me as I am. Kind of like, not ready. You know, you don't have to be ready. You're ready. The harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. Just pray to the Lord of all harvest. Send out laborers. So any one of us could change the world. You're not aware of that. But just one saint praying for a city could change that city. One saint praying for a nation. I believe that George Washington, when he was inaugurated, he raised the right hand to make an oath that I promise that this nation. But what you didn't know is he was on 48th chapter of Genesis, where it says, then this guy had crossed his hands. This is his right hand. It went to the second born. And he was saying America is the second born, whereas England is the firstborn, Manasseh. But this one will be Ephraim. So he dedicated this whole thing and picked that out, which God showed him to do. God, you must be in the Bible somewhere. He picked that out, put his hand on that. It's actually a velvet, red velvet colored Bible that he had. And he then said that. And he dedicated us, whether you know it or not, because he knew it's going to be hard to have a republic of laws. It's going to be hard. And today we flunked. Today we can't. We can't even get along with our neighbors. We can't get along with anybody because we're no longer a nation. We're different nations. We're all over the place. They fear on the other side, they fear the socialists and the communists on that side. But over here, they're more moderate. You see, and they think the moderate people should win. And we have the same thing. There are, on our side, we have the moderates that always vote with them, and they hate us, and so on. It's funny. Don't you think it's funny?
No.
It doesn't work. Yeah. That was his flesh. That was just his flesh. Yeah. And so we all have problems. They won't even be able to have a government. There's no way. Even if without Trump or all that kind of stuff, you don't need anybody. You need God. It's time for revival to break loose, and God will do everything he's done. I love you all. Time for communion. David.